we're now moving on to reframing. Reframing. Where would we potentially use reframing in the context of our interventions? At what various stages of intervention would we be doing reframing? The truth is, at any time. At any time during you're reframing the whole time. Everything you're doing is a reframe. The whole thing is reframing it. Because a frame is literally, you know, putting a frame around it and saying it means X. That's what you mean. You put a frame around it. Now, if you think about it, this is a frame. This whole section is a frame, isn't it? Because I just framed it up front by saying to you, this is what we're going to do next. So I just created a meaning and a frame for what's going to happen. Does that make sense? Some training, when at the master practice level, what we do is some of the trainings that we do, some of the sections that I do, I don't put a frame around it. As in, I don't tell you what we're doing. So I just start. So like some of the metaphors are frameless, aren't they? Yeah, it's no good me putting a frame around it and then telling what the metaphor is. Doesn't work so well. So I start with frameless, and then you've, because what happens is if you don't have a frame sometimes, what happens is it allows, you've got two types of learning. One is where you basically, what's the way of looking at this? I'm trying to think of a way of drawing it for you. One is where you start here and go out. Okay, that would be literally what we call inductive learning, whereas you go out, yeah. Whereas deductive learning is where you start with a frame and you get more detail. Does that make sense? Whereas here you don't really start with anything; it's directionless. It could go any direction. Okay, so that's what I mean by a frame. And a frame, when we ever frame something, as soon as we frame it, something we create a meaning out of it. So all reframing is literally changing meaning. That's what we're looking to do. Ultimately, our reframes change the meaning. So I've got a slide for this. So let's take a look. And what we're really doing here is the client has an internal representation, and they create a meaning out of it, which produces a state, produces behavior. What we do in the reframing is we change the meaning, which changes the internal representation. So let me give you, for example, what does a footstep mean? Think about a footstep. If you hear a footstep in a busy street, what meaning do you give it? Now, what if you're home alone? Upstairs, and now you hear footsteps downstairs, and nobody's meant to be there. What's the meaning now? Yeah? What if those footsteps now start coming toward you? Yeah? So depending on the context that you put the internal representation in could change the meaning. So, you know, and it could, you know, for example, you could change the meaning to, it could be that your partner's coming home early, for example. If you look at the, it's all about perception, basically, you see, how you perceive things. So if you look at the Inner Compass logo, for example, if you call that to mind, the Inner Compass logo, up there, what do you see? Person. Yeah? Who sees a person? Raise your hand if you see a person doing this. Who sees Inner Compass? I see. It took me ages to see the person. The first thing I saw was the eye in the sea. It took me about 2 minutes before the man suddenly appeared. So you got a K, you see. See, it's an eye. It's an eye and a C for Inner Compass. You got the man's head. So it's a, so it's really distractor, isn't it? Huh? So it's done like this. Oh, for me, this way. I'm looking at it, yeah, but yeah. So depending on what, you know, different perceptions of different things. So, for example, most people would think that death wasn't a particularly, you know, not a great thing. But to an undertaker, it's business. Yeah? So simply what we're doing is we're, at its simplest level, we're taking a negative internal representation or negative statement, if you like, and making it positive by reframing it in some way. By either changing the context of where the behavior is being used or done, so put it into a new context where the meaning of the behavior will mean something positive, or we change the meaning. We just work with the meaning itself, as in maybe the meaning you've given it, maybe there's other meanings you hadn't thought of, for example. So if you think about it, most of the great fairy tales that you hear children say, most of them have got loads and loads of reframings in them, haven't they? Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer had a very shiny nose. So at the beginning it was something that wasn't great, and then you put it in a new context suddenly, it's the strength suddenly inside. And that's a good, through history, storytellers have known that. What about humour? How do you think most humour works? It's all a reframe, isn't it? They take you down a certain track, thinking a certain thing, and then wham, suddenly, reframe. Think about any joke you know. Most of them have reframes at the end. Most good comics, that's what they're doing. There was a time they're pointing out things and then suddenly change the context suddenly, and suddenly it becomes funny. Good. So all meanings are context-related. And so, if we think about some other stories, and there's one in Tony Robbins' book, actually, Notes from a Friend, I think it is, I'm not sure if you've read that one, where it talks about a guy called Stanislavski Lec, who it was in the death camp in Auschwitz, but something like that, in Poland. And all his family basically were murdered in front of his eyes, you know, his children and his family and all the other members of the Nazi concentration camp were all sort of saying to themselves, you know, questions like, you know, the meaning they were giving it was like, you know, how can God allow this to happen? We're all going to die. You know, what have we done to deserve this? You know, blah, 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 blah. And it was all creating this kind of meaning at it. And Stanislavski Lec created a whole new meaning for it. What he said was, I'm going to survive. What could this mean? And he said, and he asked himself, he kept asking the question the whole time. He kept creating a meaning out of everything. Every meaning he created was, how can I escape? Every meaning was, there's a possibility to escape here, and I'm going to find it, everywhere he looked. And all the other camp members just say, don't, you know, you're just damaging yourself. You just accept our fate. There's no way out of this. We're all going to die. It's just a matter of time. And then what happened was, one day, because he had this meaning in his head about it all, that one day what he saw in front of him was a truck drove in and they piled all the gassed dead bodies, piled them up one by one in the back of the truck. And of course, most of them were like looking at that, feeling, you know, creating a meaning out of it. How could this happen, etc.? And of course, the meaning he said was, how can I use that to escape? And so quickly he took all his clothes and buried them somewhere in a bush, and very quietly, without anybody noticing, when it was a little bit dark, he nipped over and dove right into the bodies and lied there with a very still amongst all the bodies where there were dead flesh around them, rotting and stuff. Yet he knew he was going to escape. And then a few hours later, sure enough, the engine roared up and drove out of the camp. And a little while, about 40 miles outside the camp, he got out, jumped out, and ran naked to his freedom. Now, that's a complete reframe on what it means to be in a concentration camp, because I think he created a compelling future for himself that meant, you know, like, you know, there's a reason for this, and reframed it to himself constantly. And somebody, I think if somebody can do something like that, you know, I think people can make better judgments and reframes and meanings out of things that happen in their life. I think so. And all advertisers, for example, they're also doing the same thing for us, you know, all reframing. There was a famous advert, the Coke and the Pepsi. That's right, Coke and Pepsi. Coke, the Cola Wars thing was all about, Coke had this whole thing going on with them being the real thing, because they were like the original thing. And so what Pepsi did, they were very clever at one stage, they actually decided to use that against Coke. And what they did came up with was Pepsi was for the new generation. So they used it against them, as in, we're the new thing. That's the old thing. You don't want that. You want the new generation. Went for a new market, for example. Total Reframe, of course, and, you know, the rest is history. And I think there was another famous... Was it? Yeah, it was Ronald Reagan, and I'm not sure who the other person was, in the presidential sort of debates they used to have. You know, they had most recently. And I can't remember who it was. I saw... Who was it? No, it didn't, it wasn't running against a chimpanzee. he was. Oh, I see. No, it was up a debate against somebody else. I can't remember who it was. And the other guy was much younger, and he was using that against Reagan in these debates. And he basically killed Reagan in the first debate. And in the second debate, Reagan got switched on. And again, this issue of age came up, Reagan just said, in a total reframe for a reporter asking him a question or something, he said, "So what about age in this election? Is it? It's a big issue in this election, obviously." And he said, "Absolutely not. I have no intention of using my experience against my competitor." Total reframe. So what we're really doing here is we're taking the internal representation, changing the meaning, changing the state, changing the behaviour. There's always a different meaning available. Always. You know, they don't have to have like a meaning to them, like as in like, you know, they could be just humorous. Because what you might want to do, you might be using reframe just to break a pattern, you know, in this moment. So all types of reframes are great. The reframe I did yesterday around, for example, what it means with the situation to do with being abused, for example. That was a reframe again, wasn't it? Yes. So it's just changing the context, and that was just a meaning reframe, that one. The context was the same, or just changed the meaning that you gave it. So it could be changing the context, could be changing the meaning. Other ones are objections. If you get objections in sales, for example, what you're doing with your objections is you reframe them, don't you? As in, they don't mean what they're not. It's not really an objection after all, and you can utilize it as a benefit in actual fact. So you can actually then use, you know, you might have your, like I say, your competitor, for example, is cheaper. For example, their price is cheaper. How could you reframe that? There you go. So you say, absolutely, they're cheaper. That's exactly right. We would never, ever, propose to be the cheapest, because we know, Mr. Client, Mr. whatever his name is, we know that you don't want the cheapest. If you want the cheapest, you'd have always bought the cheapest, which means you wouldn't be where you are in the market at the moment, in business, the way place you are. You didn't get where you are by buying the cheapest. Am I right? Total reframe. Your clients, the other clients, gone out the window entirely at this point. So you've just completely reframed it, yeah? And it's not going to necessarily solve the problem on its own. All it does is moves the problem. As it's not just a problem, you're moving it along. So rather than get stuck, you know, in negotiation, for example, or in sales, if you get hit with an objection, you can just move it. Move it along. Doesn't mean you're going to suddenly get the sale, but it means you keep the sale moving all the time. Or you keep the intervention moving the whole time, yes? Because you don't want to get stuck in your intervention at any one time. You want to be able to keep it moving so you get them towards the desired state you're moving them towards. What you're really seeking to do is you're reframing the whole time in the beginning. So by the time you get to the formal intervention, by the time you get to the formal change technique that you're going to use, the problem's been already loosened up a lot by the time you get there. That's the kind of frame you want for it. So what sort of things can you reframe? Well, you can, in context, you can change the location of where the behavior is taking place, geography, for example. You can change time that is taking place. So, for example, that was an example of a time reframe to a certain extent as well, wasn't it? As in, like, this behavior now might seem a problem, and actually, when the child's 13 or 14, this is a really useful behavior. So how great is that going to be, mum and dad, meaning that you know that you can trust them to be able to trust their own mind and their own judgment and not be, so that's a time one. You can change it from, say, a business situation to put in that situation at home, or you can put a situation at home, you can put it into business, so change the context from business to home, for example, from relationship to something else. There's many different types of reframe that are available to you. Obviously, meaning reframes, what you do is you basically go inside and go inside, what else could this mean, you say? What else could this mean, really? With a context reframe, we use that when the problem is expressed as a comparative deletion. I'm too fat. He's too overpowering. They're too whatever. And what we do is we think of a different context in which the problem behavior would have had a very different meaning. And for a meaning reframe, we use that when it's a complex equivalent, as in when one thing equals another. So whenever X, I respond Y. You ask, okay, good. What else could X mean? Think of the opposite of what the meaning is. That's always a good frame that I'm often using. And maybe ask, what has this person not noticed in the context, but if they did, that would change the meaning. So, what you're really looking for in the client when you're doing it is a shift, some kind of shift in physiology. So it's really kind of break it up in some way. So for example, a good reframe I've used actually to break things up with people sometimes was, like, let's say, for example, you've been physically abused as a youngster, for example. Now, this is a big reframe. One of the reframes is, it might take you a while to get there, but it might be like, oh, so your parents loved you then? And they go like, no, not at all. So you sure? Because my parents had completely ignored me. They just ignored me completely. They didn't even care enough to even notice me. That's just one little simple example of reframe that you could use. Because the truth is, they did care enough to do something. Well, when, for example, let's say, perhaps a less intense example would be, let's say that when your parents are always picking you all the time, for example, and pulling you up on stuff. You could reframe that again to mean that actually they do care, but they don't show it in a very good way, for example. But again, at least it shows they care, versus, let's say you got a bad result, for example, and they just went, well, I don't care, do what you like. Would that be a lot worse, wouldn't it, really? Than them actually having a go at you. So then that's another way of reframing it. So there's loads of different things we could do.